T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, glad to have you here.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's Thursday night football and we're ready to roll. Carolina Panthers versus the Houston Texans.
Man, I've done a lot of work with this Panthers group, and they are so fast, and they mix things up.
It is going to be Davis Mills, the former Stanford quarterback, now in the very, very bright lights of Thursday night. Mills is going to be starting for Houston.
Holy cow!
Sports Radio 610 presents former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley. It's Clint Sterner and the show.
Damn right it is. It's game day. Just over 2 hours away.
I'm so excited.
The pregame show with Seth and Sean. And then after that, right here on Sports Radio 610, you can hear the Texans and the Panthers as the Texans are trying to get to 2-1. And today is Davis Mills Day, Clint. You talked about yesterday how over the next 3 to 4 weeks could be the biggest times of his life.
Will be.
Check that. Will be, damn it. And you have some experience. You had a first start. You talked about it with the Arizona Cardinals. You won your first start. What things do you remember from your first start that you say to yourself, damn, this is what Davis Mills needs to be thinking about going into his first career start?
Well, look, I think there's a lot of things that I wish I would have done differently. There's a lot of things that I wish in hindsight I would have told myself or had somebody in my ear consistently reminding me in my first start, and really through my second start as well. This thing starts with Davis Mills having a short-term memory, right? A lot of people say, oh, it's coach speak. Well, coach speak is coach speak because it's real talk, right? People just get tired of hearing about it, but it's ultimately what the game's all about. And he's got to have a short-term memory, right? And this is good and bad. If he comes out in the first play of the game, they dial up a great shot play. They get the perfect coverage that they've been game planning for. And he completes a big one over the top to Chris Conley for a touchdown, and Tyler hits his prop bet, and all is good. then you got to go to the bench and wipe it clear. You got to go to the bench and wipe it clear, because odds are that next drive, it ain't going to be as clear. It's going to be tough.
Good or right? bad, huh?
Good, bad, or indifferent. You go out there and you throw a pick six. You got to go to the bench, and you have got to have a short-term memory.
Did you struggle with that in your first start? Was that something you carried?
Not in my first start. I really struggled with my second start. I didn't have a whole lot of adversity. It was kind of an easy. It was a perfect first start game. I don't think I threw for 100 yards, but it was one of those where
91.
Man, thanks for looking. I appreciate you correcting that.
You did run a touchdown in. Let's not leave that out.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Finger roll.
Appreciate that. Rock the baby finger roll. That's right. A lot of people asked me if I dunked it. I said, no, hell, I didn't. Hey, that was 23 at the time. I'd never dunked in 23 years. Why the hell would I do it on the biggest stage of my life in Texas Stadium? But, yeah, no, it's the point is that game was pretty easy. Kind of there wasn't big swings. There wasn't a ton of scoring, obviously. And so it was easy to kind of keep in check. But there's going to be – this is a really good defensive football team. Sam Darnold, Joe Brady offensively are a really good offensive football team. There's going to be big swings. There's going to be big plays. And I just think first and foremost that good, bad, or indifferent, I think Davis Mills has to have a short-term memory. Here's the good thing about bullet number one here with this short-term memory show is that I feel pretty good about his ability to have a short-term memory. Throw five picks at your first – the first scrimmage over here that you get – one reps in front of fans for the first time, and then you come back and have your best 2 weeks of training camp, right? I think he has a pretty natural short-term memory, good, bad, or indifferent. But that doesn't mean that you don't focus on it going into this game and make sure that you stick to your guns on that short-term memory.
No, and you make a really good point with that. He's had some rough moments, but he seems to step up. As you talked about the five interception day when we watched him in the preseason game against the Packers, he got better. Hell, in his last game, the first two drives, he went the wrong way a couple times on handoffs. But then as the game moved he settled in and got better. So if there is anything else with Davis Mills, don't know how good he's going to be. He does show at least have improvement from the first time you saw him at something.
Agree. He's got that mental makeup to forget the good, forget the bad, stay in the moment, and do the best that you can and stay level-headed. He appears to have that. But still, again, they need to emphasize that for him. I think number two, remember, it's not about how many great plays you make. It's about minimizing the number of negative plays that you make. Ultimately, that's it. You can win a football. You can win your first start and not throw for 100 yards. I did it, right? You don't have to go out there and have two or three, 50-plus yard chunk throws, and you don't have to go out there and have two or three touchdowns. You can win your first start and keep your job and continue to develop and progress in the right direction by minimizing the number of negative plays. Focus on that. Minimize the number of negative plays. Take the check down. If you've got four verticals called, if it's not clear as day, take the check down. If it's not clear as day, that means the check down is going to catch and run, right? If you've got a shot play called, max protect, two receiver shot play. Hey, if it's not there, check the football down. Throw it away. You go tuck the football and go get 2 or 3 yards. Take the check down. Minimize the number of negative plays that you make. Focus on that versus going out there and trying to make every big play and every big throw. This ain't the league to make a living or earn your keep or make your name in. This ain't the league to try to squeeze a bunch of throws in tight coverage.
Yeah, and Clint, this is a big one for him because the overwhelming thing that has happened with him that makes a lot of people who've been to practice and watched a preseason game say he's not ready is his decision-making and turning the ball over. He's done that a lot.
Yeah.
That's been one thing where I know you've said, hey, man, I'm not a big, huge turnover person, interception person. How does it happen? But damn, at some point, man, when you've thrown about 8 or 9 of them in 2 days or 3 days like he did at one point, it's an issue. That man keeps throwing the ball to the other team. So that's a big one for him to not get himself in trouble to turn the ball over because they can't win if he turns it over.
Well, they can't. Not only – I'll take it one step further, Cheryl. They can't win if he turns it over, and they can't win if he wastes 5 throws – where he's throwing into something that's real cloudy, where somebody ends up being double covered or a zone is real, squeezed real tight and he tries to fit it in and you look over there and the tight end and the flat's wide open on 3rd and 4 or the check down's wide open on 1st and 10. Like, you, not only can you not win turning it over, but this is a good enough football team where you can't waste downs, right? You can't waste downs trying to fit a football in there. And in fact, now that we're talking about it, you can go back and watch a New Orleans film. They wasted downs because
Jameis.
Well, it's not all Jameis. They kept. I mean, I look. I'm as critical about Jameis as anybody out there. But Sean Payton's got a little bit of that in him too now, and they just kept. They just stayed in gun. Kept trying to drive the football down the field. They ran. I think they ran 39 plays.
In the whole game.
In the whole game.
Offensive.
Right. I mean, their longest drive was 6 plays, and they had one of them. Right. I mean, they were, but that was a perfect example of a quarterback not taking what they gave him, not checking the ball down, not hitting his hot when he obviously is getting blitzed, and it didn't work out. Like, he's got to just take what they give him, trust his reads, trust the plan, take the check. Don't be scared to check it down underneath early and often. It's okay. After this game, if we're calling you a Charlie check down, we're gonna dog cuss you for it. Right, everybody around the country is gonna be saying, "Oh boy, well, he wasn't gonna make it." That's fine. It beats the hell out of calling you a second string because you threw four picks.
You'll dog cuss him if it were just wide open stuff,
sure,
right?
I didn't mean dog cuss. I just meant we'll cuss and discuss it. We'll chop it
up. But you'll understand. Like, you'll understand. Keep my team in the game. You know, make the throws when I need to make them. But don't get it. We don't need to see some of the game, some of the practices and the games we've
That's just it.
Takes chances.
That's it. And my third point, so one, short-term memory. Two is minimize the mistakes. Don't focus on the great plays. Minimize the negative plays. Number three is, if I were Davis Mills, and this is the best information that I could give a young quarterback, in my opinion, in his position, sit down with Tim Kelly right now and say, hey, man, I want you to over-communicate with me.
What you mean by that? Like,
if we're back, like my deal, we went to New York. I was 11 of 12, 125 yards and a touchdown in the first half. We were rolling. I mean, I'm seeing things clear as a day. Obviously, the plan in the second half was to come out and run the football and milk the clock. I didn't know that. Nobody ever told me that, right? But in hindsight, we came out, we ran.
Nobody told the quarterback that the game plan was
nobody,
to run.
Nobody told me that. But clearly, the play caller went into run, and then throw on third down. And I commenced to run, throw a pick, run, throw a pick, right? So that's just kind of how it worked out. Whereas if at any point somebody would have said, hey, Clint, man, the odds are we're going to get in some third downs here, right? Do not force the ball. Take the check down. Get it out of your hand. Throw it away. Don't force the football. The one thing we can't do is turn the football over in this situation. We got a victory in New York on the road. Don't turn the football over. Nobody ever, and not that it was anybody else's job. I'm not complaining or blaming anybody. I'm simply saying, if Davis Mills could tell Tim Kelly right now, hey, man, in situations where, like, hey, we're backed up and I'm in my own end zone, remind me not to hold the football, right? If there's a certain play that you're calling in my ear, like, remind me that, hey, we're looking for cover two. Or, hey, if you get a soft zone here, just check it down right now. Don't take the chance. Like, remind me.
And how different is that compared to, like, how Tyrod Taylor was being handled or Deshaun Watson in the past has been handled?
I don't think those guys needed or wanted it. Right, I think there was a time when Deshaun Watson could have used it. That's for damn sure. When he was young, playing, yeah. But I mean, you get to a certain point where you just call the play and let that kid go make a play. If I were coaching, I don't give a damn if I had Aaron Rodgers or Pat Mahomes.
You're an over
communicator. I would simply say, I got 16 seconds. I can talk to that quarterback until that play clock. I believe it's 16 seconds, but I'm going to over communicate. I'm gonna if it's a certain play we got drawn up and we're looking for man-to-man coverage and we know it's no good against cover two, and we're not gonna have an alert where we're gonna get out of it pre-snap, we're gonna snap the ball and check it down. I'm gonna tell you, hey man, if you get cover two, check it down, right? I'm gonna over communicate situational football in a major. And if I was Davis Mills, I'd go to Tim Kelly and ask for that, because Tim ain't gonna step on no toes. Maybe not all quarterbacks don't want over communication. Don't tell me where to throw the ball. Like, don't tell me what to do, but just remind me of situation. Hey, we're in the red zone now. Don't take a sack. No penalties. No sacks. No turnovers, baby. We got a field goal. All right, here's a play. Boom. Like, over-communicate with me just to make sure not to second-guess me or think that, but just to reassure me that we got two minds in the game back here making decisions instead of one. I would encourage that from jump.
Yeah. Big one tonight right here. Tickets still available if you want to get about there. Go to HoustonTexans.com/tickets. Texans countdown starts with Seth Payne, Sean Pendergast, right after we get off the air at 4:20, live from the Bud Light Plaza inside NRG Stadium. If you're out there, go check them out. Remember, and I know Clint's going to stop by, and I'm gonna stop by with him, that Texas Star Grill Shop tailgate is in the northwest corner, Blue Lot 21, right next to the Boulevard. I know I'm going to make my way out there. There's a lot going on, man. It's game day, Texans, Panthers, right here on Sports Radio 610, 720. Make sure you're listening. Hey, we got to get into players to watch tonight. Players to watch to really impact this game if the Texans have a chance. That's next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Anthony will be up this week. Danny will probably not be up this week. There's a possibility that we could bring up a guy from the practice squad.
All right, that's head coach David Culley as he prepares for the Texans and the Panthers coming up tonight, 7:20. What are we, about 5 hours away from that, baby? 7:20.
On the dot,
on
baby.
On the dot, 5 hours away.
I'm in my drop top.
That's right. And you make sure you're listening right here, Sports Radio 610. Well. I don't know if that's the part of what Usher Raymond said.
That ain't what he said?
He
didn't say that. I was auto-tuning it.
Yeah, I was gonna say you ad-libbed that. You ad-libbed that. Song.
I'm in my drop top, cruising the street.
How did I do that?
See, if you'd have went then it would have been better. See,
didn't remember doing it. I didn't know that was available for us. All right.
He's lying. You lined that up for Tyler to hit that drop.
I didn't line it up. You started singing.
You strong-armed Tyler into making sure we came back with that song so that he could play your drop. I know what's going on.
Did he come back with? I believe you literally started singing that song on your own. Strong-armed. You did it, I believe. All right, Anthony Miller. Let's look at some players to watch. This is going to be the first time we've seen Anthony Miller.
Yes,
as the head coach said, he's back. I would imagine he is somebody. The one we watched at practice, we were excited to see because you saw maybe there's some upside there. But he's definitely, to you, a player to watch tonight.
Yeah, look, he's the player to watch for me. I mean, other than the obvious Davis Mills, the quarterbacks, right? I mean, for the Texans, it's one of those things where we've seen a lot from the majority of the players that this team was going to be depending on. I say a lot, two game sample size. We've seen a lot from the guys offensively that this team's going to ride with this year and potentially could ride with long term. The one guy that I think is a critical piece to the future of this offense is Anthony Miller. He's a player that this particular regime traded a fifth rounder for him. He's young. The potential is through the roof. This kid is at an ideal slot. He has good size for a slot. He has an ideal skill set for a slot receiver. And I think he has a ceiling high enough to play some outside receiver if and when he's called upon. So, look, I think first and foremost, this is a guy to watch because the Houston Texans fan base hadn't seen him in action yet.
No.
You know, we hadn't seen him in a real game yet. And I'm telling you, this kid he jumps off the tape when you watch him when he's healthy. He jumped off the practice field. When we're sitting watching practice field making plays, not quite the Brandon Cooks guy, but cut from the same mold, a similar size, maybe a tad bit bigger, a guy that moves around in motion and in formations, a guy that attacks the middle of the field a lot, a guy that can separate from linebackers and nickel defenders underneath in a really, really big way on third down when you need it the most. This is a guy that, for me, Anthony Miller is the player to watch. One, because we hadn't seen him, and two, because they traded for him, and I think he is a part of the future of this football team. I think he's got a pretty high ceiling. This is my guy to watch tonight. Oh, and by the way, everybody else is injured. You know he's got to play.
Yeah, he's got to play. He's going to get numbers, or he's going to get, at least you would think, action out there. My thing is, so what should the expectation be for him? Because, listen, it's no secret. If you listen to this show, which I know you do, I was not fired up about Danny Amendola coming here, 35-year-old receiver. I was not fired up about that. But we did watch Danny, and Danny was he was solid, right? Caught a touchdown pass in week one and was doing his thing against the Browns, being there where he needed him. What should be the expectation? If we look at what Danny Amendola gave the Texans, and we understand that Davis Mills is a quarterback, but what Danny Amendola gave the Texans for the player that we've seen in Anthony Miller, to you, what's the expectation of how much more he offers than Danny Amendola?
Well, I think he offers his ceiling significantly higher, especially at this point in Danny Amendola's career. But, I mean, I think what you ask him to do is fairly simple, similar. I think there's nothing simple about it. It's similar to what Danny Amendola was doing. The one thing is that niche, if you will, that slot receiver that's not necessarily bigger or faster, but has the ability to separate, has the ability, the wherewithal, the awareness to settle in zones and make himself available for the quarterback quickly. You know, that's the same thing that I think that Anthony Miller brings to the table. Statistically, what does he bring to the table? Well, before we go statistically, the other thing is he does all the stuff Danny can do, that Danny Amendola can do, and then he also has the ability to take the top off the defense.
Yeah, there's more special big play ability with him.
Yeah, there's definitely some big play ability there with Anthony Miller for sure. You know, statistically, I don't know what that looks like. I mean, I'd say five catches is what Danny Amendola had, five targets, five catches, and a touchdown versus Jacksonville week one. I would say that five catch range would be a really good first game for Anthony Miller. And you know, I think that where he is most important is he's got to be the security blanket for Davis Mills. I mean, he's got to be the guy that this is a defense that's going to bring pressure. This is a defense that's going to bring edge pressure on any kind of bootleg or any kind of waggle where you leave the pocket, move the pocket. And a lot of times the quarterback's trying to hold the ball to throw it down the field. Well, if they bring edge pressure right now, you need your slot receiver to give you his eyes quickly and get the football out. So whether he's in the pocket and it's a true hot read where he's reading one player blitz and it's hot, you know you're going to the slot receiver, that obviously would be a big plus having Anthony Miller out there. But also when you start moving the pocket, the underneath throws, quick throws would I would think consist of Anthony Miller a lot, and him being available is going to be big.
As we get set here, less than 5 hours away, Texans Panthers tonight, right here on Sports Radio 610. We're looking at players to watch. Anthony Miller, he's jumping in. I got to throw out mine right here. My player to watch, and I'm really a bit disappointed in what we saw last week, but it is Pharaoh Touchdown Brown. Last week you said he was a key. I don't believe Pharaoh got a target. I know he didn't.
He didn't.
I know he didn't get a touch. I don't believe he got a target. I'm sorry. That's unacceptable to me. And Tim Kelly has done a great job, and their offense has done a great job, and Tyrod Taylor has done a great job. Maybe in the second half I won't put as much blame with Davis Mills entering in for the first. But Pharaoh Brown has to get involved in this offense, in the passing game, especially now when you have so many guys out. He may be the biggest mismatch. I know we said this last week, but he may be the biggest mismatch on the field for you, right? If teams are going to try to take away Brandon Cooks, which I think they will, him against linebackers and safety with his size and ability, like, you got to try to get him involved in the game. And for him to not have touches or targets, that to me can't happen for this offense. And in the middle of the field, the easiest throws for the quarterback, Pharaoh Brown has to be involved, in my opinion.
I agree with you. If this team's gonna be the best version of what the Texans' offense is, I think Pharaoh Brown has to be a big part of it. Last week, I think, looking hindsight, I think the fact that he didn't practice probably hurt him in a sense of getting involved in the pass game, or at least I hope that's what the issue is, right? And at least that's what we can hang our hat on right now. But he's practiced all week long this week. I would expect him to be in a lot of 11, maybe even with versus this defense, as fast as they are off the edge, maybe even a lot of 12 personnel, with the thin, with how thin the wide receiver room is, the depth is. I could see them going heavy with the two tight end sets, one back, two tight ends, two wide receivers. So you could kill two stones. You kill two birds with one stone, if you will. Can't kill a stone, by the way. You cannot kill a stone. I don't think they have life.
I don't think so.
However, you could go with a lot of two tight end personnel, which Tim Kelly's very, very familiar with. You could go two tights, and it could serve two purposes, right? It could keep you from having to overuse and put your receivers in a spot where you end up risking some of these guys that are banged up and losing them. And it can help you slow down the speed off the edges that this defense can throw at you. So, I'm with you, Show. I think Pharaoh Brown, in one way or another, has to be a big – and I think he will be – I think he'll always be that in the run game, like he was last week in the run game. Here's the deal is is, I mean, I'm with you. I've seen enough in training camp and in the preseason to go, hey, man, this guy is a physically, he's a matchup problem.
Yeah, Hopkins and Will Fuller's not on this team.
Correct.
Where you're like, no, we got to get.
Correct.
I mean, who else? After Cooks, who do you want to get the ball in the passing game?
Yeah, I think that's it. I think he's it.
Right. Yeah. All right. In our efforts to raise awareness for what is National Suicide Prevention Month, join us for our special program, I'm Listening. It's a two-hour show featuring some of the biggest names in music and sports, Clint.
That's right. Sharing their experience and insight on mental health. And those big names in music and sports, we got two of them here. We got two of them right here, part of the Sports Radio 610 family, Seth Payne and Cecil Shorts. They'll both be opening up about their own struggle and successes when it comes to dealing with mental health issues.
All right, and it's coming up tomorrow, this Friday, right here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. And please remember, you're not alone. For more info, go to imlistening.org. All right, the Texans are in an uphill battle, but there is one person that has to be special. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. He has to be special for the Texans to have a chance tonight. We'll discuss that.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Ah, yes, as we get going, game day here. Texans, Panthers coming up. And right behind us at 4:20, you can hear your own Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast as they got the Texans countdown, the pregame show coming up at 4:20. They'll be live at Bud Light Plaza inside NRG if you are out there. Go check them out. Coming up here, we're going to hear from the other side. We're going to hear from Nick Wilson, who does radio in Carolina and knows this team inside and out, so he'll be able to give us a real good breakdown of the Panthers and everything that we need to be looking at coming up for tonight's game. But, Clint, many people on the show's Army text line are guessing, who is it? Who is it that needs to be special tonight? I've seen Lonnie Johnson Jr. roll through. I don't think that's who you're talking about. Who in your mind tonight for the Texans needs to be special?
Tim Kelly.
Yeah.
Tim Kelly. He's been special the first 2 weeks.
I was
going to
say, he's been special, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. And there's no doubt. I think he's been special the first 2 weeks. I think he's shown to be a legit weapon for this offense. And, look, he has to be special tonight. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And it's more important now than it has been the previous 2 weeks. You've got a rookie quarterback. It's a different approach here with a rookie quarterback. I think it's, as we've talked about, it's a different way of communicating. It's you got to put an emphasis on different things. You don't necessarily change a ton. You eliminate some things that maybe Tyrod Taylor really liked and did well, and Davis Mills doesn't like and doesn't do well. You eliminate those things and really highlight what it is that he does well. But I just think Tim Kelly overall show has to be special tonight for this team to have a chance to move the ball, convert third downs, be good in the red zone, and ultimately put points on the board.
Yeah, he I would agree. He has to, and that's who Davis Mills is going to be working at. So in particular, we look at it, we know he's got shortcomings. We've got shortcomings on the wide receiver group. Yeah. We've got injuries throughout the team, and he's going up against a really good defense. 10 sacks. I know y'all tired of hearing it, but 10 sacks in 2 games, 8 guys on the team who have at least a half a sack. With what he has to deal with, what can he do to be special? What can he try to take advantage of?
Well, look, I think you mentioned Farrell Brown in the last segment, and it's Farrell Brown, Jordan Akins, those are two guys that I would expect to see a lot of playing time tonight. I think Tim Kelly has to be really, really good tonight in 12 personnel, which is one back, two tight ends, two wide receivers. And I think that for two reasons. This team is very thin at wide receiver. I think the first group that they can run out there with Brandon Cooks, Chris Conley, and Anthony Miller, that's a really good three. But the problem is, if any of them need rest or any of them get nicked up, then you've got a problem because you're really thin at that position. So you need to minimize and manage their exposure, if you will, throughout the game, and make sure they make it to the fourth quarter. The way you do that is you use the tight ends creatively. You use heavy tight end packages to minimize the exposure that you place on the receivers. And I think in the process of doing that, you can double down on using that 12 personnel and those two tight ends, because now you can slow down their edge rushers. now you can, whether you're run blocking or you're pass blocking or they're running routes, just them being there, tight ends being there on the end of the line of scrimmage or in a position where they can chip an edge rusher, it changes the game. It changes the speed at which those guys play with. So I think that Tim Kelly not only has to be special throughout in terms of scheming and game planning and all the different creativity, movements, motions, decoy motions. You know, he's got to do all those things, but I think he needs to put an emphasis on the tight ends for a couple of reasons. And I would be shocked if I didn't see Tim Kelly in some tight end heavy, two tight packages, at least in the first half for a good chunk of the time.
Yeah, the tight ends are a big thing. As we're talking about, Clint said, for him, for the Texans, especially offensively, Tim Kelly, the play caller's got to be special. Yeah. As you said, he's been a weapon the first 2 weeks. They need him desperately to be a weapon. And I'd say the place where he's been really strong, and maybe not so much in the run game, but using the running backs.
Yeah.
They've been really strong. They've had multiple scores from running backs in the first two games. It seems like that's been the place where a lot of the creativity has come. And, man, a running game could really help the cause of Davis Mills or something with running backs.
I'll take it, Joe. I'm with you, man. I think it's tight ends or running backs. You can go two running back sets, and you could really create the same, slowing down the edge rusher type situation with some running backs. As you mentioned, you can get a little creative in the run game when you have multiple backs in the backfield. And definitely there's nothing better to protect a quarterback than a good run game. And I think he's got to protect Mills tonight with the play calling. I don't mean you go into a shell. I don't mean that you do things just completely differently, but I do think you've got to go into this game the mindset of, I'm going to protect Davis Mills. I'm going to protect the quarterback, not Davis Mills. I'm going to protect my quarterback who happens to be a pocket passer. And the way I'm going to do that is similar to what we saw last week when they neutralized Clowney and Myles Garrett.
More important, yeah, Garrett.
Yeah, I mean, so they whatever the plan that was that they used to do those things, that's what they have to do this week to even a bigger degree, because this is not just a one-man show. This defense, they're fast across the board with multiple guys. So I think protecting Mills with the scheme, the plan, the play calling, I think it's important. And again, by no means does that mean you handcuff Tim Kelly. That means you don't run out there guns blazing, empty backfield, five-man protected in the first half.
Let's rock and roll.
Let's go out here and really slow these guys down, slow these speed rushing. Let's show them. Let's put our quarterback on an island in a five-man protection. Let them simply bring six and have a free rusher. I would be shocked if you saw that from Tim Kelly. I think it would be crazy because you have to protect Davis Mills, and it's he's got to protect himself. But it's as much on Tim Kelly as it is Davis Mills to stay upright, stay clean, have a good pocket, create a good pocket and good space behind the line of scrimmage for the quarterback to make decisions. If he makes poor decisions at that point, you sit him down and you get him right. But you don't want him out there making poor decisions because he's running around like a chicken with his head cut off. We saw that from Jameis last week on the Carolina film. You can't have those kind of mistakes, and I think Tim Kelly can help that.
Yeah, as we're talking about Tim Kelly needing to at least keep his game at the level that it has been, and I'm thinking about his teacher, his mentor, Bill O'Brien, and where he is when he's coaching Alabama's offense. He's up in the booth. I think Tim Kelly is a sideline coach, and I think that's probably a strength in this game for him, because – he's going to have to be right there with Davis Mills. He's going to have to be really hands-on with him, and I think that's probably really important for him tonight to go along with what you're talking about.
Well, he's definitely going to be, Tim's voice on the sideline is going to be big for Mills. Look, that's one thing that I don't – and I'm sure there's a method to the madness, but if I were quarterback in the Houston Texans, I would want Tim Kelly – instead of taking a knee to my left and kind of just being below me, and I want him iPad in hand sitting next to me discussing or listening to me talk about what I just saw or what I didn't see or what my read was. If we're beyond that, then let's talk about, hey, man, at the end of this drive, it's probably going to be a 3-0 ball game. And in the first drive, we saw a lot of cover. The safeties were rocking and rolling and moving and all that, but ultimately they ended up in a cover two a lot of the time. So we're going to come out in this next drive, and here's going to be our four plays that we're going to attack this cover two with. Expect this safety to, you know what I mean? Like, if we're not rehashing what we just saw, let's talk about what we're going to have coming down the gate here, right? Coming down the pipe here. And I would personally ask Tim, like, hey, man, stay with me on the sideline. You know, sit down with me on the sideline and be there. Even if we're not talking, be there so that if something does pop, we can all communicate it one time and be all on the same page. So I do think Tim's voice on the sideline is going to be big for Davis Mills. Whereas with Deshaun Watson, Bill O'Brien was always in the way, so they really probably didn't have much of an opportunity to be that voice. And then, you know, with Taraj, 11-year guy, 10-year vet, it's like, well, do you really need that guy? Davis Mills no doubt needs it.
All right. Well, we know Davis Mills needs that, and we'll see how that goes for him, especially against this really tough Carolina Panthers team that's 2-0 and has looked really, really good this this year so far. Nick Wilson he does middays at WFNZ in Charlotte. Nick's been out here getting real aggressive now, really feeling himself on social media and really feeling I saw him hit me with, boy, if Houston fans could hear this segment I just did, it would piss them smooth off. So I can't wait to hear what Nick's got to say. So what's the vibe, Nick? What's the vibe? You've been talking to people in Charlotte today. What's the vibe about this game?
Joe, Clint, I'm a peacock. You got to let me fly, all right? This game, the vibe on this game is they being the Carolina Panthers, better open up multiple cans of whoop ass so that by halftime I can be half in the bag on my birthday, or I'm going to be tomorrow, I'm leading the show saying, why wasn't this a 50-point victory? I want Bama versus Mercer numbers tonight, guys.
Wow. Oh, wow. First of all, happy
half
birthday.
Half in the bag. I'm not saying happy birthday to Nick after that.
I have no problem.
The hell with that.
Happy birthday.
I don't know what he's drinking. But.
I mean, you're that high on Carolina. I mean, like, I'm high. I watched the film. I see some good football now. There's no doubt it's improvement. It's impressive. But y'all are that high on Carolina 2 games into this thing?
I think maybe there's a little bit of hyperbole at play here. I maybe don't need Bama versus Mercer, but I could use a tut or two win tonight. I think we're still figuring out what we have truly in Sam Darnold and that Panthers offense, and specifically to the guys protecting Sam. I think they've done a good job of basically hiding the fact that they don't have a good offensive line outside of Taylor Moten. And they've done it by getting the ball out quickly. They've done it by really balancing the run and pass game and having a lot of success there. So offensively, I don't know. But defensively, yes. This is the most impressive defense I've seen. And it's not the headline. I know everybody always pays attention to how many sacks or quarterback hits or pressures. That stuff is obviously impressive here. They lead the league in the NFL in sacks. What impresses me most, though, is they're also really stout against the run, which I think is going to come in handy tonight. And I've been really surprised with their ability and coverage to this point. I just think they're a really well executing three-level defense that I don't think has like a true weakness. I think that's where I'm putting a lot of my Panther hubris in tonight's game and just coming off their 2-0 start.
All right, Nick Wilson, who is bringing it here, who says he wants to be half in the bag by the half. So this thing needs to get away from for the Panthers. All right, so that defense seems to be real, you believe. What about Sam? Is Sam real? Is this a completely different guy, or are you all still a little skeptical and wait and see with Sam?
Well, I think you have to be skeptical through 2 games, right? Like, I saw a guy that absolutely knows more football than I did, but Kurt Warner, after Jameis throws 5 tuts week 1, he comes out and predicts Jameis is going to do another 5 tuts in week 2 against the Panthers. And that dude knows, he's a doctorate level football. I'm just a schmo over here with my GED. I knew that wasn't going to happen with Jameis. So is there a little bit of curiosity how much fool's gold? Yes. But I think there was something that really, I'm the foremost Sam detractor in this town. I've gotten endless beef for saying that Sam or bust was not the right way to go about it. And there was something to me in the Saints game that really impressed me. The Saints did a great job in the second half of bottling up Christian McCaffrey early on drives. So Sam was facing second and tens, and he was facing third and tens or third and eights. And four times in that situation, on the strength of his arm and a good decision alone, he made the right call and got them 10 when they needed it. He got them 16 when they needed 11. That, to me, was the first sign that maybe this isn't just smoke and mirrors with Sam, that maybe, just maybe, you can trust him to make those throws, because he threw them into a lopsided win over the Saints.
Nick, I'm no Kurt Warner, nor would I ever shape my mouth to say that Jameis Winston is going to throw five touchdowns again ever. Not ever, but definitely not consecutive games. But I'm going to tell you, man, and you cover it closer than I do. I believe Sam Darnold and Joe Brady and obviously Christian McCaffrey, that combination, I believe more in Sam Darnold being the right guy in Carolina right now than I believe that defense is as good as they've shown.
That's interesting. Why do you say that?
Well, because I think the defense is good. There's no question about that. And I love the fact that it's 11 guys good. It's not just because one guy's up there kicking ass. You know, they're 11 good. But I think I think they've played two quarterbacks that we know that just to a fault hold the football too long. To a fault try to drive the football down the field, right? And I think if you look at the Saints with Jameis Winston, the perfect marriage for Sean Payton was a guy like Drew Brees who would check the football down. Sean Payton, Sean Payton has got a lot of Jameis Winston in him. I know people don't want to talk about it, but he's got a lot of Jameis Winston in him. Let's go force this thing down the field, air yards. And I think that Carolina capitalized off that. And I think the numbers are probably a tad bit inflated because of that.
Mm-hmm. I don't hate that. And I think the quarterback, you know, that was a big talking point this week from us, is how much does what the quarterbacks are playing matter, and really some of the injury breaks. Obviously, the Saints had the pandemic thing going on this last week. Obviously, they were missing Marshawn Lattimore. They were also missing Michael Thomas on the other side of the field. The Jets were missing Carl Lawson. They were starting a rookie quarterback. So I think it's fair to wonder how much that factors in here. I think the big thing was Sam, though, getting back to the idea that he could be more of a sure thing than the defense. I think it's been really, really promising. In the same way that you could say we could pick apart the defenses that are the offenses that the Panthers defenses played, I do want to see him go out there against Washington, where when that team's generating pressure, just good guy, you better have a good game plan. You better get the ball out quickly. I want to see him up against Buffalo in December on the road. Those are really the benchmarks for me. When I see those things happen, then I'm going to buy a Sam Darnold jersey, and I'll be half in the bag at every game, not just on Thursday Night Football.
All right, Nick, man, appreciate you for joining us and giving us the insight from the Panther side of things. Nick, check him out at Nick Wilson Says on Twitter, Instagram, or as he says, his Insta. You can check him out there. But, man, always enjoy listening to you and Stan every midday, and enjoy the game tonight. I hope you're hammered, but I hope you're pissed off and hammered in the fourth quarter.
Well, hey, I want to say thank you, guys. Thank you for the happy birthday. And to the Texans fans, stay strong, guys. You guys deserve better. At some point, you're going to get better again. And you guys have put up with a lot down there. I just love the passion of those Houston fans, man. So keep going, guys.
All right, that's Nick Wilson. All right, guys, coming up, the issue with the Texans in this game continues to get worse. We'll discuss that next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way.
Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game 10, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.